or what this bond was going to do for us. He said softly,
"Intimacy on a level you can't even begin to imagine. You should know going in, I'll never remove mine. You do this, there's no turning back. We'll know each other like humans never can. You'll be able to feel me constantly. Good, bad, and ugly. It's all there. Still want to tattoo me, Danny?"
I wouldn't miss this adventure with him for anything in the world. 34. The best is yet to come. I worked all night on Ryadin's tattoo, racing the clock, worried that, given how unpredictable my life is, something might happen to keep me from finishing the brand before I became whatever I was becoming. I doubted a hunter's massive talons were capable of the dexterity necessary to painstakingly ink the delicate, many-layered spell into his skin. We talked non-stop, making each other laugh, sharing stories of outlandish adventures we'd had, subtly one-upping each other and laughing at ourselves for doing it. Ryadin is as self-aware as I am. Okay, maybe a little more. Thing is, we love the game we play, the way we provoke each other. We thrive on it. And that was a trait I couldn't wait to explore in bed with him. People say opposites attract, and that's true, they do, combustively and short-term. I think it's those with like minds and hearts that succeed long-term. Late that morning, as I inked the final lines of the tattoo, I inhaled sharply. I felt an instant, subtle yet pervasive connection to him that I couldn't begin to put into words, an omnipresent awareness of him on a cellular level. "Is this what you've always felt since you tattooed me?"
"To a degree. Now that we both wear the brand, it's stronger,"
he said, turning around in the chair to face me.
"You're feeling a connection to my essential energy, for lack of a better phrase."
His essential energy was comprised of a staggering amount of raw sexuality and tightly leashed hunger for everything. More life, more sex, more toys, more adventure. He was 1,000% exhilarated to be alive. All the time. Like me.
"You're on the surface. You'll always feel me now. Think of it as a bridge between us. We can stay on our own sides as we are. Or we can move across it, entering each other to various degrees. Respect is paramount. If you resist my presence at any time, I'll back off. You're entitled to your secrets. You choose what to let me see. This kind of intimate connection can be beautiful or terrible. Never take, only ask. Never force, only offer. Respect boundaries."
"Always," I vowed silently. Such access was a privilege, not to be taken for granted or exploited. I expanded my senses and, as he allowed me to delve deeper, I gasped again. He was all around me. A great, big, sexy Ryadin blanket rubbing up against my mind. It felt as if I was slipping deeper inside him, not perceiving him in words, but tasting him with an unnamed sense, discovering his nuances. There were no lies or deceptions here. It was open, raw, only what it was, good, bad, and ugly. No wonder he'd said we were going to know each other more intimately than people ever could. The taste of him was addictive. He was proud, strong, had often been a king during his life, determined, fiercely focused on the things he cared about, and ferociously protective of them. But he was right. He was beast first, human second. I wouldn't have believed that until this moment. So flawlessly had Ryadin perfected his man's skin. His beast was savage, primitive, its law utterly self-serving. An endless roar inside that said,
"I'm king of this motherfucking jungle. Everything is mine. I want it all the time."
His beast was ancient, ruthless, voracious, craved everything sensual and immediately gratifying, and it had absolutely no.
"Careful. You sure you want to know that?"
Soft laughter rolled in my mind. No conscience, I said, stunned. Good grief! Your beast has absolutely no morals, scruples, or ethics. Nothing even close.
Only those rules I make and enforce on it. It's an eternal battle. I usually win.
He flashed me a feral, fierce smile.
But there are times, such as war, when I get to set the beast free.
He loved those times. Felt undivided in his own skin for a rare time. It always hungered for a return to the man and his world. Those he'd chosen as his family.
Danny, I feel the hunter in you.
He said quietly. And?
It's beautiful. One more time.
His silver gaze didn't say.
That's all you've got.
And I didn't say, then I'll never use it again. And he didn't say,
thank you for that.
Because we both knew I'd use it the next time it was needed. Just like we both knew he would devolve into a lawless monster the next time the opportunity presented itself. We were what we were, and nothing could change that. Love doesn't build cages. It builds stairways to the stars. Close your eyes, I said softly, ready to test just how intimate we could be. When he did, I focused on the connection between us, locking everything in the room down on my mental grid, recreating us in a private space in my mind as I closed my own eyes.
Christ, you're a natural,
he said roughly.
I'm here with you.
Because of the way I'd taught myself to use my brain, it was second nature to recreate reality in my mind. In the illusion, I stalked hungrily toward him, straddled his lap and slid my arms around his neck, staring down at him. Sexy, brilliant, pain-in-the-ass man, and all mine. Bloody hell, he hadn't lied. I could feel every inch of his body, indistinguishable from reality.
I feel it too, now that we're both branded,
he said roughly.
Before I couldn't.
His hands slid up my waist, stopping at the curve of my breasts, thumbs drifting up to graze my nipples. I sucked in a shallow breath, jerking from the erotic contact.
Christ, you're incredible.
It was so convincing. I wondered if it would be possible to forget which version of events was true. In the real world, he was still sitting in a chair alone, while I was standing several feet away. I tested my ability to move back and forth between the reality and the illusion, stunned to find it indistinguishable. Mind-boggling.
Get your ass back here. Practice technique later,
he growled.
Fucking kiss me, woman.
I meant to kiss him with an explosion of raw, long-repressed lust, but when I raised my hands to his face, they met his skin with reverence. I thought I'd lost the ability to touch him, to feel the rasp of his beard against my palm, slide my fingers into his hair. This was an unexpected gift. I lowered my mouth to his and brushed lightly, teasing, nipping, savoring the tension coiled in his body, knowing he wanted it hard, savage, and I'd get to that in just a moment. But, bloody hell, teasing this man sexually was something I'd hungered. My phone alert sounded.
Ignore it,
he growled. I couldn't. I had to at least look. If our world was peaceful, I could shut it off, but it wasn't, and it might be important, so I shifted back to reality with a groan, tugged my phone from my pocket, and glanced at it. Is your last name O'Malley? It was from Roisin, I winced. With all that had happened in my life, I'd not circled back to check on her. Yes, why? I need to talk to you. There's something you need to know. I'll call you. No, I need to see you. I sighed gustily, at the same moment Riordan did, and glanced at him, startled. You can see her text.
No. I picked up only that someone wanted you, and you'd made up your mind to go. When a split second ago there was nothing but sex on your mind. Whatever it is,
he said darkly,
let's get it done.
This is certainly going to make things easier. You can tell when...
Your stubborn kicks in,
he growled.
Yes, we'll both know when it's pointless to argue.
That's going to save so much.
Which means more time to fuck,
he purred. pushing up from the chair. Are you going to start finishing all?
Good chance of it. Soon you'll stop talking.
Holy hell. I don't need to anymore.
You and me. Peas in that kaleidoscopic, crazy-ass megapod of yours.
He flashed me one of those rare, full-on smiles, blazing with joy. It took my breath away. Maybe this beast-slash-dragon thing could actually work.
Never doubt it,
he said in my mind as we headed out to see Roisin. I was pleased to hear the sound of multiple deadbolts sliding when I texted Roisin to let her know we were standing outside her flat, that I'd brought company with me, and to brace herself. I looked a bit different. Still, I suppose no warning could have prepared her for the sight of me. I'd gotten my fill of shocked, startled, and frightened looks on the way over, and notched my chin higher, put a little swagger into my step. I wasn't scary-looking as far as I was concerned. Hunter Raven and Obsidian Flames looked good on me. I thought I looked downright dangerous, and oddly hot. Soft laughter in my mind.
That you do,
Riordan agreed. I sent him a wordless smile in response.
Sexy in any form, Denny. Woman or dragon.
Back at ya, badass dude. More laughter, husky with a blatantly sexual undertone. I shivered. Couldn't wait to get my illusory hands on him again. During the walk over, I'd become aware that something deep at my core was changing, transforming, caterpillar to a leathery-winged black butterfly. I could sense subtle differences in my brain I couldn't quite grasp, but it felt as if inert areas of grey matter were waking up, firing with new neurons. I could feel more raw energy pooling inside me than ever before. I loathed that the changes were taking me away from my friends, but given what Riordan and I could do with our bond, and the power I would soon have, my inevitable transformation was more bittersweet than bitter. He loved me. He would love me, no matter what I was. I loved him the same way. Love doesn't always come in tidy packages. What in the world happened to you? Roisin gasped, peering intently at me. Hazards of the trade, I told her as we stepped inside the flat, unable to keep a note of irritation from my voice. There were no rules in our world. Hadn't been for years. Who knew killing a hunter meant you would become one? Who could even guess at that kind of twist? It had been somewhere between 7 and 9 years since I'd stabbed it. What kind of transformation took that long? I said, how's your back? Healing. The bastards dragged us down the street, she said tightly. I blinked. To a mirror. It was her turn to blink. Yes. How did you know that?
Baylor took her,
Riordan said in my mind.
And she got away.
Sounds like. How had this petite woman, with no apparent magic, managed it? To Roisin I said, tell me everything. Roisin, her father and brother, had been abducted by 4 men nearly a week ago. They'd broken into their home, shot them with paralytic darts, dragged them down the street, tossed them into a pile with other bodies near a mirror, then gone back out into the streets to collect more. But her abduction had taken a darker turn than mine. The men who'd collected them had been sadists, raping and torturing their captives. They'd broken her father's legs and badly beaten her brother, while she lay helplessly by, being raped again and again.
I will fucking kill every last bloody one of them,
Riordan snarled in my mind. You and me both, I returned grimly. Eventually, they'd transported them through the mirror and added their bodies to a growing mound of paralyzed, tortured humans. It was like something out of a horror movie, she said hoarsely. I couldn't move. I hurt everywhere and could only see what I was pointed at. I couldn't even shift my eyes and my head. I could hear people talking, she shuddered. The things they were saying were horrible. They hate humans and plan to eradicate us from the face of the earth. And they're not fae. Why did you ask if my last name was O'Malley? I said. Because the one behind it all, they called him Baylor, wanted you. That was what I heard right before I crawled back through the mirror. He sent a hideous little monster that could split itself up into roaches out to find you. Bather said he was going to collect you personally. Papa Roach? I exclaimed.
The bastard keeps switching sides,
Riordan said, cursing.
I'm going to kill that fuck once and for all.
I saw a roach in my shower a few nights ago, I told him.
And you're just now telling me that?
I shrugged. I'm never certain if they're just roaches. They can't all be Papa Roach.
They are,
he growled. I frowned at him. You mean every roach in the whole world?
Yes, and he's dying the next time I see one.
Roisin stared between us. You guys already know about all of this? Not all of it, I said. How did you escape? Because of Gustain. That's what Baylor called the roach monster. Baylor had just removed the paralysis spell from a group of us when Gustain interrupted and distracted him. Her eyes filled with tears. I could move, but my father and brother were too badly injured to escape. The tears began to run down her cheeks, and she wiped angrily at them. They kept jerking their heads toward the mirror, telling me to leave. Oh, God. How do you leave the people you love like that? Yet, how do you stay? There's no point in staying. Either one of you lives, or you all die. It's a horrific choice with painful repercussions either way. I'm so sorry. I had to go. It was the only chance they had. I had to get back and figure out how to save them. But when I got back, I couldn't. I just couldn't function, and you found me and brought me here, and I slept for days. You were in shock, I told her. Your eyes were glazed. You'd been through hell, and it takes time to pull it together. I think you did it in record time. It's been 6 days, Roisin cried. Who knows what happened to them in that time? You did the best you could, I said quietly. I saw how broken you were. We're here now, and we'll get the bastard that did this, I promise you that.
Describe for us where he was,
Riordan ordered.
Omit no detail.
She began to shiver as she spoke, rubbing her arms as if to ward off a bone-deep chill. We were in some kind of huge cavern. There were, I don't know, thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people. But they weren't right. They were blank, looked nearly starved, like puppets being controlled, moving jerkily, and they chanted non-stop, saying Baylor's name over and over. He was building an army of humans, controlling them somehow. He takes their souls, I told her grimly. He tried to take mine. He already came after you, she exclaimed. I nodded. How did you escape? I smiled faintly. I have a few unique talents. Back to the cavern. Tell us more. She sighed. It was like those caves beneath the burn, but I could see tunnels shooting off in all directions. I got the impression we were deep below the earth. She shook her head. No, that's not quite right. They looked more like corridors that had been carved out a long time ago. Tall, made of stone blocks with high, rounded arches. There were fires in the main cavern and hundreds of ancient-looking torches bolted into the walls everywhere, vanishing down the corridors. Metal sconces, I said, using my gloved hands to sketch an image in the air, with three stems going up into cups the size of my fist that had flames in them. Yes, how did you know that? And did those three stems shape a sort of clover? I demanded. With a bent leaf, she said, nodding. Was she fucking kidding me? Did it feel like you were in an underground city more than a cave? I said tightly. She nodded again. Yes, that's what I was trying to say. It didn't seem like a natural cave, but something that was deliberately planned.
Bloody fucking hell. That bastard is beneath the abbey,
Riordan exploded. What abbey? Roisin said. I shot him a dark look. When Baylor woke up, he never left. He stayed put in the one place he knew the Fae would never come, building his army, absorbing power right beneath our bloody feet. That's how he got our she-seers. They weren't abducted at Illyrium. He either took them on their way back in late at night, or simply came up and grabbed them while they slept. That son of a bitch planned to get strong enough to destroy us all while being protected by us, then kill us and go after the Fae. But wouldn't you have heard the chanting and screaming? Roisin said. Not as deep as our underground city goes, no. I'm not even sure we would have heard him in the cavern the Shisa do once occupied if the door was closed. Everything is solid rock, and most of it dozens of feet thick. Damn the Shidon for not letting us explore the underneath, I thought, as I yanked out my phone and fired off a text to Kat. Get everyone out of the abbey. We think Baylor is beneath it. I'm coming too, Roisin said instantly.
You'll slow us down,
Raiden said curtly. I agreed with him on that score and told her so. Sit tight and wait. I promise to text you the moment we kill him. We'll find your family, Roisin. I promise. I didn't tell her I was afraid there was nothing we could do for them once we did. The feeling I'd gotten from Baylor was once you lost your soul, it was a done deal. Souls weren't pickles that could be stuffed back into a jar, especially not as brutally as he'd tried to wrench mine from my body. Then there was the whole annihilating of personality facet once he had them. He'd felt like a massive pulping blender, breaking down souls into fundamental nutrients to fuel himself, as if humans were his protein powder. As we stalked from the flat, Raiden shot off a text to Christian, a second to Lore, telling him and the others to meet us at the Abbey, and a third to Barons, though I doubted he'd be joining us. Protecting Mac from Fae attack was paramount. We had this, one way or another.
You promised. You're the last resort, Danny.
Raiden reminded tightly. I nodded.
I heard that,
he snapped. I smiled faintly. Did not, I didn't say it. Boundaries, remember.
You fucking felt it.
We're going to have to make a few more rules, I said lightly. One of them is you can't hold me responsible for my feelings if I don't voice them. What he'd picked up was my unshakable sense of inevitability. As if this day, whatever was about to happen, had been aimed at me, trying to collide with me for a long time, and it was... Well, I don't believe in fate, but I do believe in actions and reactions. Years ago, I'd made an action. The repercussions from it were bearing down on me like a Cat 5 hurricane whose course couldn't be altered. I was ready. Whatever happened, next adventure.
Fearless as always.
I felt his warmth, his respect, his constant, steady love. It's all I know to be.
You're like us in that. Becoming a beast was meant as a curse. But if I could go back to that day and choose again, I'd do exactly the same. Live forever like this? Fuck yes.
I gasped. He'd never spoken to me of anything to do with his origins. Does that mean one day you'll tell me?
Tell me something you missed about me,
he evaded. Everything, I admitted finally. Half the colors vanished from my world, and I couldn't breathe right until you returned.
Say it, Stardust. I want to hear it.
I love you, Raiden Killian St. James. Any name, any form. Always. Pure joy blazed inside my soul, warming me to the core. Tucked beneath a base moulding in the living room of the flat, one of countless roaches flooding every nook and cranny of Dublin retracted its antennae and sent a silent message back to its counterparts in the cavern, letting Gustain know the auspicious news that the woman Baylor sought had been located and was headed straight for him. 35. I curse the stars that take you away. Baylor had already taken the abbey by the time we got there. We'd originally headed for the main gate, but a half mile away, we heard the chanting of thousands of Baylor's zombies and circled around to the back. We'd abandoned the Hummer behind a tall labyrinth of hedges where we now crouched, with Lore and the rest of the nine, who were already in beast form. We eased around the side of the fortress toward the battle raging on the front lawn. It reminded me too much of another battle. Between the Fae and us, when I'd melted down and raced back into the burning abbey to save a stuffed animal. The night Riordan had charred himself to the bone to save me. The lawn was filled with nearly 1,000 she-seers, battling 10 times that number of Baelor's zombies, slashing and hacking their way through the crowd. It was horrific. Humans fighting blank-eyed humans. And I knew every she-seer out there was fighting their own innate instincts to do it. We're programmed to kill Fae and protect humans. Yet these humans were tightly controlled killing machines Baelor had loosed on us with instructions to destroy. Baelor himself was on the lawn. Bloody hell, he was enormous. Over 20 feet tall, clad in billowing black, lumbering through the crowd, mask shoved up on his head. That terrible, enormous eye revealed as he bent, snatched she-seers into the air by an arm as if they were dolls, drank their souls, then flung them to the ground like broken toys. I snarled, hands fisting. There was no way I was staying out of this fight. I lunged forward, only to feel Riordan's hand close on my wrist like a manacle.
You promised.
My sisters are dying.
Give us a chance. Kill him!
Riordan snarled. He surged forward, transforming effortlessly, and 8 beasts melted into battle, determined to take Baelor down. Scowling, hands fisted, I stayed melted into the side of the abbey, holding my breath, feeling raw power roiling inside me, demanding to be used, demanding that I do what I was born to do.
I heard that,
he snarled.
Stay put.
Then the 9 exploded out of nowhere, vaulting airborne, landing on the titanic god, ripping with lethal fangs at his flesh. I knew which one was Riordan. I could feel him now. And as I watched, he hurled himself into the air and went straight for Baelor's face, primal jaws wrenching impossibly wide, closing on the god's flesh, fangs sinking deep. Baelor roared, kicking and swatting at the many beasts tearing into him, howling with rage and pain. Abruptly, he focused solely on Riordan, closing enormous hands around his throat and squeezing. My heart clenched. I could feel Riordan's pain as those massive fists closed tighter and tighter. Felt like I couldn't breathe too. Could feel that whatever Riordan usually did to kill the Fae wasn't working on Baelor. Get off him now, I thundered inside Riordan's head. Get all of the 9 off him. It's not working. But Riordan sank his fangs deeper into Baelor's face, despite the horrific sense of strangulation I could feel him suffering, ignoring me, and I suddenly understood he was trying to drain the life force from the god, the way barons had sucked the Shisadu from the Unseelie princess's body, and I knew, at the precise moment he did, that it wasn't working. Whatever gods were made of, it wasn't the same as Fae. The 9 couldn't kill them. It didn't surprise me. I'd had a strange, unshakable sense of fate riding me like a bitch all day. I was willing to bet I could. I inhaled deep and slow, embracing my power, calling to the hunter within, beckoning, welcoming it. Fill me. Take me. I'm ready, I willed. Whatever the price. Energy slammed into me like a fist to my heart, and my entire body bristled electric. I couldn't get a shot at the god with the beasts in the way without taking one of them out, and although they'd return if Baelor killed them, there was a good chance they wouldn't if I hit them with a hunter bolt. Get everyone off Baelor, I snarled at Riordan. Now, I said. I could feel every emotion he was feeling. Fury, grief, rage, sorrow, denial. He didn't say, I'll miss that beautiful body of yours. Although I felt it. And I didn't say, I'm afraid you won't keep loving a dragon, although he felt it. We're both too pragmatic for that. We do what needs to be done. As the nine dropped away, as Raiden tore himself from Baylor's grasp, I quit being the wallflower I simply can't be, and strode into battle with fire in my blood, war in my heart, and extreme high voltage in my veins. My first lightning bolt caught Baylor in the chest, slamming him backward, nearly taking him off his feet. The power inside me felt so much bigger now, and I knew, with soul deep knowing, that there was no coming back from it this time. No second chances. I was going to be a hunter when this was through. Roaring, Baylor spun to face me, stabbed me with that lethal soul-sucking gaze and began to tug at my soul. To my surprise, nothing happened. I couldn't even feel him trying to take it. I'd moved beyond his reach. Guess I wasn't quite human anymore. I saw the look of astonishment on his face and laughed as I stalked nearer, shoving his zombies out of my way. I slammed him with bolt after bolt, in his chest, in his face, singeing and charring him, yet that damned eye remained unaffected. Then the bastard dropped the mask back down over his eye, and I heard Riordan say,
"It's not enough, Danny. You're not letting go. You have to let go of everything. Become the next thing."
He didn't say,
"Let go of me."
But I heard it, and he was right. I was still resisting with a tiny part of me, not wanting to become something that would forever separate me from the people I loved. I had to embrace the transition fully, accept that I was dying so a new me could be born.
"Love you, Stardust. Always. Across space and time. No ending. New beginnings."
Sorrow welled inside me. This was not what I'd planned. This was not the life I'd wanted for myself. I wiped angrily at tears icing my cold black cheeks. "New beginnings," I sent back along our bond, with a wordless expression of how I felt about him, how I'd always felt about him. He inhaled sharply and cursed.
"Fuck. Shit. Goddamn woman. You show me that now."
It was now or never. Every second I wasted was potentially another She-Seer's soul. I flung my head back and threw my hands up to the sky, calling down power from the heavens. I poised on the brink of becoming something else, something so alien I couldn't even fathom it. But it was time, and it was my destiny, and the stars awaited. "I am Hunter," I roared silently. "I accept. I want this. I commit." My body raged with raw high voltage. I became high voltage. I quivered electric with unspeakable power, focused and hurled it all at Baylor's eye in one furious bolt. The god's head exploded in a shower of... 36. I would always open up the door, always looking up at higher floors. Stars. Millions, maybe trillions of them, glittering on a vast, eternal black palette. I was soaring at superluminal velocity, headed straight for a fantastical pink, gold, purple, and orange cluster of nebulae. This time was different. In the past, I'd always felt oddly disembodied. I didn't now. I flexed my hand and glanced down. I had a hoof of sorts with black talons. It was steaming like dry ice, leaving a trail of sparkling frost in my wake. I glanced back over my shoulder and simply stared for a long moment. I had the body of an enormous, black, leathery-skinned and scaled, icy, majestic dragon. Holy hell! I was a hunter! I glanced right and left to see my beautiful wings, though I'd known it was going to happen. Knowing wasn't the same as seeing. I was no longer human, and never would be again. This was my body now. I focused on curving one of my wings. It not only obeyed, it nearly sent me into a tailspin. I snapped it rigid and pulled out of it moments before crashing into a small meteor sailing by. Oh, God! I was in space! I was a hunter! It was too much to process. I'd been too quickly ripped out of one reality and crammed into another. My body was gone. My red hair, my arms, my legs, all of it, just gone. Forever. I would never lace up sneakers on my feet again. Never slip into a sexy dress and high heels. Never gorge on Pop-Tarts or access my brand of the slipstream. Never pet Shazam with a hand. They say we deal with death in stages. I always thought I'd belly up a laugh and plunge into it fearlessly, but now I felt appallingly normal for the first time in my life, as I flashed instantly to denial. I can't be this. Send me back, I protested. My words came out as a deep, resonant gonging, not words at all. Where were the hunters? They'd come in the past. Why weren't they here now? Anger reared its fiery red head. You can't do this to me. I had a life. Silence. In case they were nearby listening, I moved to the next stage, bargaining. Please, I just need to see Ryadin one more time. And I need to tell Shazam what happened. I'm not ready.
You wouldn't be here if you weren't.
The voice echoed inside my head, and I turned to find a great black hunter dropping into flight pattern beside me. A huge hunter, 20 times my size. I was tiny in comparison. It chuffed with laughter.
You've just been born. What did you expect? It will be eons before you're fully grown.
I blinked, suffering a mind-bending disconnect. Part of me was still human, back on Earth, torn from battle, desperate to know if I'd succeeded in killing Baylor, desperate to see Ryadin and Shazam, to know which of my sisters I'd lost. Another part of me was simply stupefied, trying to process and accept that I was a hunter now. I had a new body that, fortunately, seemed to understand instinctively how to fly itself. Where did my other body go? I boomed. The hunter snorted a tendril of fire.
Silly question. Part of you.
I need to know if I killed...
Baylor is dead.
How do you know?
I've been watching you.
I turned my dragon head and peered into its fiery orange gaze. Why?
Protecting you. We nest our eggs.
I'm not an egg, I said indignantly.
You were. Now you're hunter.
You mean because I stabbed one? Is that the deal? If someone kills a hunter, they have to become one.
Have to? Hardly. Hunter is a privilege. We don't birth children. We choose them. Our chosen must then choose to become one of us or not. You could have walked away at any point. You chose not to.
I blinked, pondering that, unable to argue. I have a fatal flaw. More weapons to protect my world seduces me. I'd hungered for the gargantuan power of a hunter. I'd been enticed by the possibility of such astronomical adventures. In a deep, wordless place inside, I'd been insatiably curious about what was happening to me. It's always been one of my downfalls, leading me from one extreme situation to the next. During the past 2 years when I'd been so alone, I'd have plunged headlong into the transition. But my family was back. I was in love. I had a life and a world and a Hellcat that needed me.
Each time you turned black, you didn't reject it. You found it curious, intriguing. When you began to transform, you welcomed it. Always staring up at the stars. That's what I felt in you the day you stabbed me. You're made of stardust, destined for the skies. You belong here, with us.
I gaped at the giant hunter that seemed somehow feminine to me. You're the one I stabbed? She turned her head and smiled, thin black lips peeling back from saber teeth, and bobbed her great leathery black head.
I am Uriel. I have been waiting to see if you would become one of us for many years, keeping you alive when I could.
If a dragon could look abashed, Uriel did then.
I broke many rules for you, Danny O'Malley.
I thought I killed you.
Can't. We die only if we choose to become the next thing.
What? I demanded suspiciously, wanting to know just what was in store for me next.
It is within us to one day become planets. Your Earth was once a hunter. You, Danny O'Malley, are one of our chosen. It is a great honor.
But my people? I peered down through space, seeing only unfamiliar moons and worlds. No sign of Earth. I had no idea where I was. No real concept of up or down. It was disorienting in the extreme.
It will soon feel natural, and they are still your people if you wish,
Uriel said. You mean, I can return and live among them as a hunter? I clarified. I fully intended to.
You may also live among them as a human, half the time.
I have no idea what I did then, because I didn't have the hang of my new form, but I gave an explosive, whole-body jerk, and suddenly I was rocketing through space in a dizzying tailspin, head over tail. Holy leaping lizards, I had a tail! A long, black, leathery one.
Stop fighting it,
Uriel said, chuffing softly.
You can't muscle things up here. Easy. Smooth movements, small one.
I tried. I really did. Focused on merely the tips of my wings. But I was tumbling so fast and out of control that every move I tried to make generated intense friction and I couldn't... Dragon teeth plucked me out of freefall by the nape of my neck. Like a kitten or something, I thought crossly. Good grief. Did I really have to be a child all over again?
You will learn,
Uriel said, chuckling.
Enjoy it. Unlike your human childhood, this one will be grand, with endless universes to explore and no cages. Ever.
Half the time? I shouted the moment I had my bearings again. I get to be human half of my life, like Persephone? I get my body back?
I do not know of her, but yes. However, if you fail to spend half your time as a hunter, you will lose the privilege of being one. Most of us choose to remain hunter. Few ever return.
Why not?
Loved ones pass. Planets die. This is home. Everything is here. We are Nightwind fly high free. There is no place more majestic, no greater freedom to be found than among the stars. You hunger for freedom. I tasted your mind when you stabbed me. You were already one of us. Sky-high dreams, no limits. You despise limits. We have none.
I wasn't hearing much past that I could be human again. This wasn't death. This wasn't permanent. I was like Raiden and his beast. I was both woman and dragon. Holy hell. This was the best of both worlds. Better than anything I could have imagined. I hadn't lost anything. I'd gained. Fully human? I pressed. As in, not lethal to the touch?
You will be as you were before you began to change. But it will be some time before you can shift forms. You must bond with your new skin. The more often you shift, the more skilled you become. But that first time is terribly difficult. It may take many years.
Years? I exploded, bristling. That was unacceptable.
He is immortal, small one. He's not going anywhere.
It hit me then. I couldn't feel Raiden anymore. I arched my, good grief, long, scaly, black neck to peer over my shoulder, but I couldn't see my back. Do I have a brand on me? I demanded.
Your skin is new. Nothing of his mark remains. Trinkets do not survive transformation.
I exhaled gustily, startled to see tiny dark ice crystals puffing from my mouth. As I realized, Raiden must have felt our connection sever abruptly and had no idea what happened to me. So much for our plan to love each other in illusion. It wouldn't have worked anyway. But it didn't need to. I could be a woman half the time. Exhilaration filled me. This was incredible. I was a woman who could become a dragon and become a woman again. But Raiden, Shazam, my friends, I had to tell them. Take me back to Earth, Uriel. You can teach me to shift there. I'm a fast learner. I was practically vibrating in the air with excitement. I'd soar back to Earth, tell Raiden and Shaz what had happened, then hang out with them, learning all about my new form. Damn. Raiden's beast had nothing on me. I could feel my hunter lips stretching into a smile as I beamed radiantly. I was badass. The most awesome superhero I could possibly be. If I'd known going in this was what was waiting for me, I'd have embraced it sooner.
Give your new world a chance. It will all be waiting for you when you return. Where did that child I felt when you stabbed me go? The one who couldn't wait for the next adventure? It's here. Look around. Is it not magnificent?
Uriel, Shazam will fall apart without me. He'll melt down. He's so emotional and he doesn't know where I am. He doesn't have anyone to take care of him. I have to go back. Show me how to get back. Uriel chuffed softly.
Shazam is fine, Tiny Red.
I jerked to a sudden stop and stared at her. What did you just say? I gasped. Uriel said tenderly,
Shazam is fine.
After that, those ferocious eyes gleamed with amusement.
Tiny Red.
Uriel said she'd been watching over me. But you're a she, I said faintly, trying to bend my mind into a shape it simply refused to achieve. Shazam is a he.
You're the one ascribing genders. We have none.
Uriel smiled then, and I suddenly understood what Shazam's smile had always reminded me of, which I'd never been able to place. Thin, black lips, pulling back from sharp teeth. Same utterly alien expression. Shazam's smile had reminded me of a hunter. Chills suffused my entire body. No way. Not possible. I said slowly and carefully, Uriel, what were you before you became a hunter?
Before I was chosen for this by a great dragon soaring among the stars, drawn by my cries of loneliness and longing for a home, I was once the last remaining Hellcat in existence.
Uriel's eyes flickered with violet lightning.
My beloved Yi-Yi.
37. Shaz, the mighty fur beast. Uriel was Shazam. I just lolled there in space, staring at her with my mouth open, until she reached over and nudged it gently shut with a talon.
You'll catch space debris. Sorry to bufflescate you.
I was bufflescated speechless. An extreme rarity for me. As I hung there, staring, I replayed my years with Shazam through my mind. His mysteriousness, his constant disappearances, his other form I'd know nothing about, his constant cagey, evasive replies to so many questions, the odd juxtaposition of extreme emotion and wisdom.
We are not permitted to interfere or influence our chosen's choice in any way. We are never to have contact after the initial invitation. I've told them that's why we have so few young, but they don't listen.
Uriel, slash Shazam, looked abashed.
When you got lost in the Silvers, you were so lonely, like I once was, and I was afraid you would die. I came to you in my Hellcat form to help you survive.
All those times you disappeared?
I had to be Hunter, or I would lose the right. I could only spend half my time with you.
But Shazam is so emotional and you're, well, more composed.
As a human, you strike me as quite emotional too.
Uriel slash Shazam said, sounding slightly miffed.
You saw my wisdom on occasion. I wasn't always emotional.
Then?
When we shift, we are what we once were. Flaws and all. The enormity of Hunter can't fit in a small skin. Another reason most of us choose to remain Hunter. It is difficult to get used to being tiny, driven by our biological natures again.
Uriel shuddered, sloughing black ice into the air beneath her wings.
Being Shazam is humbling. I am a very different creature in that form, needy, tiny, lonely.
Then her eyes gleamed, and she said,
You were a good mother to me. I will be to you as well, in this form.
Oh my God, Shazam! I exploded, as it finally fully penetrated. You're my Shazzy Bear! Uriel smiled.
I am. I couldn't tell you. They say if we breach that one rule, our child will never be born.
That's why my black hand never bothered you. I always wondered why I could touch you. Uriel nodded.
Also why I told you to make it go away. Reminding you that becoming one of us was your choice. You said you wouldn't even if you could. I chose well with you. Your desire for adventure is exceeded only by your desire to care for worlds. We do much of that up here. One day, you'll see.
See what?
The threads that connect everything. We tend them. We sew them.
I began flying again. Gingerly, then with greater gusto. I was flying in space. With Shazam! Holy hell! I always knew Shaz had another enormous form and stayed up in the air, but I'd never once imagined that form was a hunter. I'd even written that ditty about Shaz, the mighty fur beast who lived up in the air, and us battling dragons together. I snorted with laughter, and it came out as a soft, delicate trilling gong, accompanied by twin plumes of fire from my nostrils. Criminy! I just shot fire from my nose! Hunter half the time, woman the other half, with Riordan half the time, with Shazam the other half, with incredible adventures to be had both ways. Fierce exhilaration filled me.
I knew you'd think so.
Uriel slash Shazam said smugly.
Come, I have so much to show you.
As excited as I was to see more of my new home, Riordan couldn't feel me anymore. First, take me back to Earth so I can...
Send him one of your texts, Yi-Yi, and let it go. You have all the time in the universe. Others are waiting to meet you. Few are chosen, far fewer born. Most rejected. Only the fearless join us here.
Ha ha, a text, I said dryly.
Ah, I forgot. You won't be able to do that for some time.
She sighed.
I suppose I'll break yet another rule for you.
As I watched, Uriel turned, churning ice beneath her enormous leathery sails, and focused her attention on a nearby star.
What do you want it to say?
I tried to nibble my lip, and gouged myself in the cheek with a fang. Ow! This was going to take time getting used to. Tell him I'm okay, and I'm coming home soon. A thin bolt of pale purple lightning, fine and laser-sharp, erupted from a taloned hoof as Uriel carved a tiny chunk of the star away, etching words on the face of it that shimmered like stardust. Then, abruptly, Uriel vanished and reappeared far beneath me, caught the chunk of star and brought it back, tossing it to me. Holy flower balls, she could sift! That meant I could sift too! I'd eclipsed Batman a million times over. I caught the chunk of star, cupping it awkwardly in my hoof, marveling. One day I'd be able to carve messages on stars. Etch a twisty D for Danny all over the bloody universe. Criminy. Dancer would be beside himself if he could see me now.
Throw.
Huh? How? Where?
I'll correct its course. Just throw it.
I did, launching it into space. Then Yuril spun mid-air, batted it with her tail, and sent it rocketing off at such speed that it vanished from sight as if it had entered a black hole.
It is done. He has received your message.
I understood a bit about travel in space, and said dryly, When? 5 million years in the future?
I adjusted it so that he would receive it at the proper time.
You can manipulate time? I was awed. She nodded. I can do that too? I practically shouted.
Thank the stars, no. You must grow into your hunter powers. It takes a very, very long time.
Do I have any hunter powers right now? It may have come out sounding a bit peevish, but seriously, I was a dragon. I wanted some juice. You're real chuffed.
There's my yee-yee. A few. But when you become human again, no.
You mean except for the lightning? I liked my lightning bolts. I wondered if I'd be able to use them now without turning black.
Not the lightning. That is part of the birthing process. You will be as you were before you changed.
Sucky. Still. But I'm immortal now, aren't I? I said. And if I'd been human, I'd have been bouncing in hyperspeed from foot to foot.
You can be killed in your human form until you've spent enough time as a hunter that you complete the full transition. You must be careful when human, Yi-Yi.
For how long?
You would consider it a very long time. Now come, let me show you your new home.
My new home. All the worlds were my oyster, half my life. The world I loved was mine for the other half. I turned my head from side to side, drinking it all in. A velvety, exquisite, enormous expanse of space, and one day, the mysteries even of time. Beyond that, if I chose to die, I could become as a planet. This was, I decided, bemused and stunned, the greatest superhero gig of all. I was a hunter. Like the caterpillar, compelled beyond reason to spin itself into a cocoon, I'd grieved the transformation, believing I was losing my life. Deep down in a place I never let myself feel, I'd actually been afraid. I'd mourned, only to discover wonders I'd never dreamed possible, becoming an entirely new thing. I might fly riding up into a starry night sky, soar overhead while his beast hunted. A dragon and a beast, roaming the earth together. God, the things we could do now. It was a future I couldn't wait to explore. How many months? I demanded.
For what?
To shift.
I said years.
I said smugly, Right, how many months? Come on, Shazzy Bear, break another rule for me. Yuril sighed.
You're going to be a handful.
I grinned. As if you weren't. I get to be the kid now. Teach me how to fly like you do. Teach me how to sift. Come on, Yuril, show me everything.
With pleasure.
When Yuril turned with a sharp, beautiful, dark swoop of her powerful hunter body, curving the merest tip of a wing, I imitated the motion and, together, we glided off into the starlit sky. 38. There's nothing left to do tonight but go crazy on you. 4 months later. I lope up the front stairs of Chester's, marveling at the sensation of having a woman's body again, and at just how much Raiden accomplished while I was gone. Chester's above is a stunning modern 6-story building of pale limestone and vast expanses of glass. The wide curved staircase leads to ornate steel doors, heavily etched with wards, as is everything of that man's. He likes to protect his property. As I push one open and step inside, I smile. The domed foyer has sleek black marble floors, simple white and chrome furnishings, windows all around, and faceted skylights casting rainbows on the floor. I can feel the bass from here, rising up from the many sub-clubs below. I'm a woman again. It's strange and exhilarating, but I have to admit, being a hunter, flying among the stars for the past few months, was beyond my wildest dreams. Uriel and I played with the abandon we'd shared Silverside, with one difference. No predators, no enemies, just adventures. I'd visited worlds beyond describing, drifted inside nebulae, played hide-and-seek in meteor fields, watched stars go supernova, slingshot around moons, played in the gaseous rings of planets. My hunter body, impervious to harm. I barely scratched the surface of discovering what it was to be a hunter. Uriel was downright mysterious about many things, and full of annoying patience grasshopper sayings. According to her, I would learn when it was time, and no sooner. Still, I had a fair idea my potential was virtually limitless. One day in the future. Unlike Shazam, who lived to break rules at every opportunity, Uriel preferred to adhere to them. It had taken me weeks to convince her to help me transition back into my human form before I'd learned to do it myself, then another 4 months to get her to actually do it. She'd then warned me that I had a single week in human form before she came to reclaim me. I thought it was half and half, I protested.
Not at first. You must settle into this skin. If you stay human any longer right now, you might lose your hunter form.
Oh, hell, no way, I'd cried. Still, I felt like the luckiest woman in the world. I had a whole week with Raiden. After believing I'd lost him forever, a week felt like a small eternity to me. We'd flown to Dublin, landed on top of the building that housed my flat, where she'd shifted me back into human form, painful, then reverted herself into Shazam. We hurried. I was naked. Now I understood why Raiden always had extra clothing stashed in convenient places. Below to my flat, where Shazam flashed me a mischievous grin and muttered a cryptic,
"Go to him. He's been waiting a long time,"
before curling up for a nap on our bed. I'd taken my first shower in months. Not that I seemed to need one. Dressed with care, weaponed up, and freeze-framed straight for Raiden, electrified with excitement. As I push through the second set of doors, my smile deepens. The street-level bar and restaurant is lovely, with an elegant staircase that descends to the sub-clubs. I dash down the staircase and stand behind the balustrade, surveying the dance floor, looking for him. It's early evening. The club is hopping as usual, and I'm pleased to see not a single fae. A part of me wants an immediate update on events in Dublin and our world, wants to head to the Abbey and get all the details, but I learned a valuable lesson about time from both Dancer and Raiden. We don't always have as long as we think we do. Updates can wait. It's necessary to be selfish sometimes, and tonight I have every intention of it. It was pure pleasure to slip into a black spandex dress, heels, and nothing else but creamy Irish skin, knowing I'm about to slip out of it and go crazy all over that man's big, powerful body. I want Raiden in my bed, inside me, all around me, and that's my only goal for a good long while. Before I have to leave again, I'll catch up on my world. Tonight's for me. Tonight's for us. And it's long overdue. I descend the final set of stairs, thinking maybe I'll find him in his office, and push through the crowded dance floor, heading for the glass and chrome staircase to the Nine's private levels. I'm nearly there when someone blasts into me from behind, seizes me in a steely grip, drags me the rest of the way to the stairs, and shoves me down on the steps. Has to be one of the Nine. No one else can noodle me like that. I toss my hair from my eyes and scowl up. Then, "Lore!" I exclaim, delighted to see him. He stares at me in utter disbelief.
Danny?
Mega in the flesh. I flash him a 100-megawatt grin to prove it. I'm back. And you are so never going to believe the things I've seen and done. Then Fade and Casteo are there with him, all three of them staring at me, with a mixture of irritation and disbelief. What's with you guys? I told him I'd be back.
The boss,
Lure says flatly.
You told him that?
I nod. I sent him a message.
He sure as fuck doesn't think you're coming back,
Fade growls.
And I'm sure as fuck glad you are, because he's been goddamn impossible to live with. Go fuck him and make him sane again.
He turns and stalks away. To Lore, I say, he thought I wasn't... Wait, I don't understand.
Just go to him, honey,
Lore says.
He's in his suite. Never comes up. Spends most of his time as the beast. Ain't eating, ain't sleeping, ain't fucking, and it's getting ugly around here.
I surge to my feet before he even finishes speaking, lope up the stairs, taking them three at a time, dash onto an elevator and tap my foot impatiently as it descends. How could he not know I was coming back? I don't believe Uriel would lie to me. I frown, remembering her exact words.
I adjusted it so he would receive it at the proper time.
Okay. So what was the mysterious being's idea of the proper time? When the door whisks aside, I explode from the elevator, freeze frame down the hall, and blast through the door into the anteroom of Riordan's suite. It's still trashed. He never cleaned it up. Broken glass crunches beneath my heels as I stalk to the hidden panel that conceals the doorway to his true suite and push it open. As I step into the room, I inhale sharply. This room too is trashed. Every piece of furniture demolished. Savage claw marks scar the panelled walls. The chandeliers are torn from the ceiling. Wires dangling, exposed. Crystal splinters glistening on the floor. The bed is a collapsed jumble of wood, with slashed velvet pillows, shredded linens, pulverized mattress. I narrow my eyes, letting them adjust to the gloom. He's here. I can smell him. That spicy, darkly exotic scent that always clings to his skin. Animalistic, druggingly masculine, blatantly sexual. I can feel him. Every nerve ending in my body electrified by his presence. There's more in this room. Rage, fury, grief. It's embedded in every demolished item, gouged into each panel, carved in deep gashes across the floor. He grieved me. Believed I was never coming back? But why? All my senses are cranked up to full volume. This is my night. My choice, my long-denied, deepest desire, and I feel achingly, incredibly alive. I hear him inhale, as if questing the air, catching my scent. Then a rough laugh floats from the shadows near the fire, where he sits in a tall armchair.
Not again,
he says with a rasp of agony in his voice. I wince. I know the power and persuasion of hallucination. I lived it in my cage. I'd wake from a tortured slumber smelling food. Certain, Mam had come home, and I was going to open my eyes to a heaping bowl of my favorite creamed corn, topped with a crispy helping of fried chicken and green beans, only to find there was nothing there for me to gnaw on but my own knuckles. Again. I knew the despair of the moment the brain processed the deceit. That hope crumbled to ash. That the thing you wanted so desperately wasn't there, and maybe never would be again. He smells me and thinks I'm a dream. I intend to fulfill every one of his wildest ones tonight. I step carefully into the room, skirting bits of debris and broken glass, trying to decide what to say, how to convince him I'm real. Some of my hallucinations had been so extreme they'd nearly unhinged me. I'd actually eaten imaginary meals. Starvation messes with your head. Sustained deprivation of anything you desperately need does. He desperately needed me. I like that. I feel the same about him. I decide the best approach is to simply touch him. Let our bodies do the talking. As I skirt the shattered coffee table and approach his high-backed armchair, I inhale sharply, butterflies fluttering from my stomach to my throat. I'm nervous? No. I'm exhilarated. Okay, a little nervous, and have no bloody idea why. Just that this man has always rattled me. God, this is it. He's here, I'm here. My skin is flawless ivory. We're free to be together, to be everything I've ever hungered to be with him. I know I'm real. Yet even I almost can't believe this moment has come. I'd thought it would never happen. That I'd lost us forever. Still, I was quickly disabused of my grief. He's been grieving me for months. I clear his chair and circle to stand in front of him. He tips his head back and stares at me with narrowed silver eyes stained with crimson streaks.
I'm getting better at this,
he mocks.
Christ, you look so fucking real, so fucking sexy in that dress.
His gaze rakes me from head to toe. Heat floods my body. Fire ignites in my blood.
I never told you. You define beauty for me, Danny O'Malley. Copper flames and emerald ice. The snow and rose of your skin. Those insanely powerful legs. The steel in your spine. The unquenchable fire in your spirit.
Well, fuck. He'd silenced me. I'd stand unspeaking for an hour if it meant he'd keep talking like that.
You're unbreakable, woman. None of it ever broke you. You're my fucking holy place. Do you know that? Why the fuck didn't I ever tell you?
I swallow hard, tears stinging the backs of my eyes. His holy place. That's exactly how he feels to me. He's my temple. I slip into his presence, and the world melts away. And I'm safe, and together we can face anything, do anything, survive anything, always find the next way to be together. I think that's what love is. Holding someone sacred, honoring them, protecting them, living up to the very best of them. The grief, the pain, the fury in his gaze slays me, humbles me. I will never doubt the depth of this man's emotion. It's evident in every too tightly drawn line of his body, the stony set of his face, the half-wild look in his eyes. I drop to my knees before him. Holy hell, he's beautiful. I've never seen him like this, dressed only in a pair of low-slung faded black sweats, skin poured over rippling muscle, glistening gold in the firelight. This is Raiden's slumming. His face shadowed with beard growth I'd never seen, that makes him look diabolic, dark, fascinating. He smells like beast and feral fury, and no shower in a long time, and I don't give a damn. He smells exactly right to me. Danger. Edges sharp enough to cut myself on, and I know he'll heal my every wound if I do. His perfectly cropped hair is long, messy, as if he's been running his hands through it. He's too lean, skin tight against bone, and I know he hasn't fed in a long time. I reach out and place a palm flat to his hard, chiseled chest. No heartbeat. He definitely hasn't eaten recently. You might want to, I tease. I plan to wear your ass out tonight, babe. He cocks his head, eyes glittering, nostrils flaring.
Even if I were starved, you couldn't wear my ass out. You're an illusion. I let you get away. Hell, I fucking threw you away and I shouldn't have. I should have fought for you. I should have told you everything.